We're in Psalm 107 today, 107 verse 1. This may be the shortest scripture in our history as a church, to start out with at least. Psalm 107 verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your life-giving, life-changing word that is active and alive. We thank you for your word that speaks to our hearts and produces fruit as we obey it. And we pray today that would happen, that you would speak to us as only you can in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an Israeli man who seeks a restraining order against God. In May 2016, an Israeli man petitioned for a restraining order against God. Apparently, the plaintiff, identified as Mr. David Shoshan, represented himself in court at a hearing in a place called Haifa, a port city in the north of Israel. The report noted that God was not present to defend himself. Of course, God may was present, he's omnipresent, but he didn't feel the need to defend himself. Mr. Shoshan told the court that God had been treating him harshly and not nice. Though no specific details were given as to exactly how he was doing that, it just made him feel that way. Mr. Shoshan also explained that he had made several attempts to contact police to report God's alleged crimes, and that patrol cars had been sent to his house on 10 different occasions. Police advised Shoshan to try making a restraining order, so he did. The request of the restraining order was denied by the presiding judge, Ahsan Kanan, who said the request was delusional and that the petitioner required help from sources outside of the court. Go figure. I don't know what made the judge say that, whether because the guy actually saw God as a personal being, which he is, that communicates to people, or maybe because this guy actually saw a good God that I thought was evil. Maybe that was it. Although I don't like this man's blasphemy towards God, I do respect this guy because at least he had the guts to say it. Like Thomas, right? Doubting Thomas, he gets a bad rap for speaking out, right? Or Peter. But at least this guy had the guts to speak out what was really on his mind about God and go to court to do so. Now, many people will do this, but they won't be as blunt as this guy or as obvious. Maybe more of a subtle way, and maybe say something like, "How could a good God," I think you guys know where this is going, "let bad things happen to good people?" First off, with that question in itself, it shows that your understanding about God and for people is a little off. Because the Bible says that there are none who are righteous, not one that is good, but God. So first off, there really is no good person in and of themselves. And you remember what Jesus said to the guys that came up to him and called him good teacher. He said, "Why do you call me good? There's only one who is good, which is God." And now Jesus wasn't saying that he wasn't God, but he was using, I mean, just think about it. He actually went to the cross showing that he was God. He claimed to be God. That's what sent him to the cross. But he was saying to these guys, "Hey, your use of that word, the way you're using that word is wrong. For only God is inherently good. Man is not good. Only God is inherently good." Now, although we may do things, we might do nice things to people, but we do so out of a flawed way. And if you look hard enough, you might see, you'll probably find a little bit of selfishness in the good things that we do. I'm not trying to discourage us from not doing any good things. What I'm saying is, they're like filthy rags, as God may say. He says our good deeds that we think are good are compared to a bloody, dirty rag, a filthy rag. But our deeds can be good in God's sight if they're solely done to reflect God and to glorify him. Not being done so to be seen by others, But being done so, not to work for grace either, but to work from it as a reflection of God's grace that has been done to me. Now, and as I continue to do the works, as the Spirit leads me to do a work, that can be a good work if it's prompted by God and empowered by and led by God. Because if it came from God, it's what? It's got to be good, because God is good, as we say all the time, right? And so we have to be careful as people what we call or who we call good, what we label as good. We're not the judges. We don't have infinite knowledge as God does, do we? We can't truly judge someone and say they're good. We really don't know their heart. Only God's. No, we have a limited, very limited knowledge. So we got to be careful not to judge something or someone as good or bad, I guess you'd say. And is that not poor judgment is what brought us to this mess we're in right now, under the curse, right? Was it from someone misjudging poorly God, using their limited knowledge of what they knew about God that got us in this to the curse that we experience as we die now, as there's pain in childbirth, as we have to face the repercussions of Adam and Eve and their decision to disobey God? Although the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it sure was desirable. The Bible says it was desirable and was pleasing to the eye. But that's not what primarily led Eve to eat of the fruit and Adam. What sin was it? It was the lie. The lie that the serpent planted in them by saying, "You will not die if you eat of this." God, yeah, I've known God for a long time, yeah. He just doesn't want your eyes to be opened so that you'll be like him, knowing good and evil. He caused them to believe that God was not good, to think that God was not good, that he was evil, that he was withholding something from Adam and Eve, that he didn't really love them, and he wasn't a good God. He's not worth our trust. You see, Adam and Eve, with the help of Satan, they judged God in their limited knowledge, and they said that he was not good by eating of the fruit, which led to disappointment. And that's what leads us to a lot of disappointment, when we misjudge God for who he really is, or if we misjudge someone, if we judge someone poorly, that leads to disappointment most of the time. And that, think about that, going to that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, trying to know good and evil at a level that they did not know, it really led to the absence of good, to the only thing that was good, which was God, the relationship with God, and they fell into the curse. Well, I wonder if at that moment, when Eve first got tempted, if she would have just stood back, thought about this for a while, weighed things out, and just started to count her blessings, naming them one by one, right? And thanking God for all he had done, all the good things that he had provided in her life. If she would just taken the time to think about that, she'd come into the realization, hey, this guy, he's a liar. I mean, God has been good. Everything I've gotten from God so far in my life has been good. This is a lie. Get behind me, right? If she'd done that, ironically, she would have left with a greater knowledge of good and evil, yet apart from the curse. She would have seen a more stronger contrast between the serpent and God who is good, and seen how good, even more how good God was compared to the lying serpent. Think about that. That would have been really ironic. Resisting the tree of the knowledge of good and evil from eating its fruit, but yet, if you resist it, come into a greater knowledge of good and evil because you see God and his goodness even more. Romans 2:4 tells us God's what leads us to repentance. God's kindness leads us to repentance. And that word kindness is actually, the Greek word is Christos, Christotis, and it also means goodness. Same thing as goodness. So you could say God's goodness leads one to repentance. That says, knowing how good God is, and he says, don't go there. I'm not going to go there. If I don't go there, that's going to be good, because it has come from directions from a good God. And by the way, with that scripture, Romans 2:4, if God's goodness and kindness lead me to repentance, isn't that how we should witness, right? If we have the truth of God, should it not be out of kindness? The truth, yes, but out of love, out of kindness and goodness to lead others to repentance, not repentance. Well, there are most certainly echoes of Eden today. I think you might say amen to that. The enemy is still trying to get us to believe that lie, to take the bait, saying God isn't good. He's withholding something from you. You need to try this. I had a best friend in high school who actually, he sadly believed that lie, that God wasn't good. His aunt, she was a nice person. He was really close to her, and she was, I guess you would say, a good person in the world's eyes. And I was close to her as well, and she ended up getting terminal cancer and dying of cancer. And because of that, my friend says, well, how could a good God, if there is a God, how could a good God allow that to happen to Kate? And because of that, he doesn't follow God, thinking God is evil. I tried years later to explain that, we all die as humans. And actually, it's our fault. We're the ones that fell into sin. Sin has brought death into this world and everything else bad in this world. And then God, in his goodness, sent his son to die and do something about it. But sadly, my friend continued in his unbelief, and I still pray for him today. Well, I'm here today to remind you, if there is a bait hanging out there for you, if the devil is trying to get you to think that God isn't good with whatever you may be facing, I'm here to tell you, don't take the bait. Sit back and start thanking God, reflecting on all the good things that he has given you that you can think of. There's so many good things that he gives us, we can't even think of them all. But the things that we can remember, sit back and thank him for his goodness. Think about it. He wiped our sins away. We who did everything wrong, he who did nothing wrong, came and died for us and wiped all our sins away. Just because bad things happen does not mean there isn't a good God. See, that word, that sovereign, that God is sovereign, I think gets misunderstood a lot. A lot of times we think sovereign is I got to have complete control over everything. I got to decide everything for everyone. You ever have a micromanager? Ever work for someone like that? Always looking over your shoulder, making sure you do what they want you to do? I don't think that's a picture of God's sovereignty. I like to think of a home, a father in a home who has young children. Yes, he needs to, at the beginning, make decisions for them for their good, because they can't make decisions on themselves. But he doesn't want them to stay that way and be perpetual infants, right? Teach them one day to learn how to make decisions on their own. And just because you do that and they're living in your home, does that mean that you're no longer in control of your home? No, you're teaching them how to make decisions on their own and to how to grow up, how to mature. So just because evil people decide to do bad things in this world does not mean God isn't present and that he isn't sovereign. It just means there's evil in the world and people have made poor choices. God sets boundaries in his sovereignty, and thank God that he does. So when we see someone that chooses to do evil, whether against me, against you, it's not God doing the evil, but God, what does he do with the evil? He says he turns all things into good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's what he does with the bad things, the evil things. He turns them into the good of those that love him. Like Joseph of the Old Testament, you've heard me talk about him before. His brothers did terrible things to him. Terrible things, and that led to him being in a position, actually, to save his family It led to something good, evil done to him. And much of, at the very end, if you remember, he faces his brothers, face him, and I'm sure they were fearful, thinking this guy is in power. He can just get total revenge on us and kill us if he wanted to, or make us slaves. But what did he say? He says, and he never doubted God through the whole time. And he says, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." They meant it for evil. They were doing evil, but God turned it into good. Much like the evil is done to Jesus, right? Jesus got put on a cross. He did nothing wrong. Terrible evils were done to him, but the result was good for all who believe. All who believe to have salvation. Now, why does God cause all things to work to the good for those who love him? Because he is good. Right? If I plant a tree, if I have an apple seed and I plant that in the ground, am I going to get oranges from that tree? No. I'm going to get apples. A good tree produces good fruit. And God is good. He can't help but produce good things. Just imagine if he wasn't good. Imagine if he was evil and he had, you know, using his absolute power to do some, to be, use it for his evil humor, maybe you would say. Like maybe you had an older sibling or something that just tried to make your life miserable. Imagine them with all the power of God, what they would really do to you with his ultimate power. I got a clip for, there's a guy named Bruce who got all God's power one time, Bruce Almighty, I think you've probably seen it. Hey, he starts complaining to God about how he's doing his business, and so God says, "Hey, I'll let you have the power for a little bit. See, let's see how you do, all right?" And this is one of the first things that he does with those powers.
Welcome to Eyewitness News at 6 with Susan Ortega, Evan Baxter, Fred Donahue, Sports, Dallas Coleman, Weather, and now, Buffalo's number one news team.
Good evening and welcome to Eyewitness News at 6. I'm Susan Ortega.
And I'm Evan Baxter, and here's what's making news. A potential scandal with the Buffalo PD surfaced today when the mayor demanded that...
As a response to allegations of... I'm sorry, I seem to have something stuck in my...
Somebody get him some water, please.
It looks like my new co-anchor may need a glass of water.
Oh, there we go. Sorry about that.
All right, so thankfully God is not one who uses his powers towards evil, but he uses them towards good. Like I said, Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work to the good for those who have loved him, those who love him and are called to his purpose. And as we reflect on God's goodness, on how good he is, and remind ourselves of that goodness, and we're thanking him, counting our blessings, that helps us to be protected, be ready for that lie when it comes. Not if it comes, when it comes, because the devil's going to keep trying. It worked in the Garden of Eden, and it's been working for a long time. He's going to keep trying to get us to believe the lie that God isn't good because bad things may be happening to me. If you like Denzel Washington, you'll like this quote that might help you. He says, "Give thanks for blessings every day. Every day, embrace gratitude. Encourage others. It is impossible to be grateful and hateful at the same time." I pray that you put your slippers way under your bed at night so that when you wake in the morning, you have to start on your knees to find them. And while you're diner, say, "Thank you." A bad attitude is like a flat tire. Until you change it, you're not going anywhere. As you probably have heard, the devil, surely he can't steal your salvation, but you probably heard that he can't steal the joy of our salvation. If we continually thank God, that'll help us protect ourselves from that joy getting stolen from us, in a way setting our face to the sun in the sky and not focusing on the shadows, causing a bad attitude and, I would say, a bad witness for God. Like the old saying, if we face the sun, shadows will fall behind us, but if we turn our back on the sun, shadows will always be in front of us. And that's something we focus on as believers, is God and his goodness. which remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. For the longest time, as humans, we thought that everything revolved around us, that everything revolved around the earth. But thanks to Copernicus and the work of others, we have found that actually the earth revolves around the sun. It's not the sun revolving around the earth. We revolve around the sun. And to compare God and his goodness with the sun, both of them are constants. And then both of them we rely on for great blessing. Could you imagine life without the sun? Do you know how long it would take for us to become an ice cube? If the sun vanished right now, how long would it take before we froze? Thanks, Zach. You're right, 8 minutes. 8 minutes. The sun is 93 million miles away, and at the speed of light, it takes 8 minutes for the sunlight to get to Earth. So that tells me if the sun vanished, 8 minutes, we're frozen. We're done. We heavily rely on the sun for life, and it is a constant. It doesn't move like we move as much. The Earth, you know how fast the Earth rotates? How many miles per hour? One rotation, at that speed is 1,000 miles per hour. That's how fast we're going right now. It doesn't feel like it, does it? But that's how fast it's going. We're changing. That sun remains constant. Well, much even more, who we rely on even more is God, who stays constant. We may change, we go through difficulties, good times, bad times, but the more we are trusting in God, who does not change, and his goodness, the more stable we're going to be as we face those difficulties. If I'm trusting in something that can be shaken, if I'm trusting on circumstances and happenings, then my mood's going to change as those circumstances change. But the more I'm trusting in God, the more stable I'm going to be through all changes. And you may say, as you go through a test, you know, God can really see what's in me as I go through those tests. But really, he knows. He knows all things. Really, when we go through tests, it's so we can see. We see what's really in us, what we're really trusting in, and where we need to trust in God more. A guy by the name of Howard Dilliman said, faith is like a tea bag. You don't know how strong it is until you put it in hot water. When we face fiery, hot trials, we see how strong our faith is and also maybe how weak it may be and where we need to change and trust in the constant God, the God who is good. Well, I'll end with the story here. There's a whaling vessel out to sea. And this group of fishermen, I guess you would say, harpooned a whale. And they had a hard time reeling it in. And this whale just went way out to the sea, and they couldn't reel it in. And it was out for a while. And then until suddenly they felt the ship move, and move a lot. This whale came and charged and hit the boat and made a hole in the boat. And I don't know, when you have a hole in your boat in the middle of the ocean, that's usually not good news. And by the way, this is a place where no ships sailed. No other ships were sailed at this place. So, ship is going down, and I can't expect any other ships to come by and help me. And so what happens is that the guys, the crew, they find the lifeboats. They get in the lifeboats, and they're safe. And so they're away from the boat, and they're watching the boat sink. And a crazy thing happens. Two of the guys jump out of their lifeboats and swim back to the sinking ship. They go into the ship, and they're searching for something. They're searching all over the place. And this thing is just going down and down. The whirlpool of the boat is just pulling everything down. And they're still in this ship until they find this object. And they're all the way underwater by now. And they come out with an object. And the writer of this story says, what could it have been that was so important, so valuable to these guys that they risked their lives to go get? It was the compass. Because out in the sea, no matter what lifeboat you have, and no other ships coming by, no communication with anybody, you're going to eventually die. If you don't know where you're going, you're just going to go in circles without the compass. I'm here to tell you today, God's word is our compass that guides us to the place of safety. As we follow this compass faithfully, we arrive to that safe place of the goodness of God, the character, the good character of God. And as we get ready to celebrate Thanksgiving 2018, may we be reminded to always, daily, give thanks to the Lord and follow the compass. Be reminded of his goodness, that he's a good God and he's worth following. He leads to goodness. He can't help but lead us to goodness. I'd ask you to help me to close today. We're gonna read Psalm 107. I'll start it off. If you guys can just finish out what is in bold print there. Give thanks to the Lord. Thank you. Let's pray together. God, we do thank you for your goodness. We really don't even know how good you really are until we see you in all your fullness. But we know as we follow you, you are a good God. Help us to be ready, God, to share your goodness with others. And God, help us to follow the compass that leads to your goodness. And as we remember to give thanks, may we always give thanks for who you are, that you're a God who doesn't change and a God who is always good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.